This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back, everybody, to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn weekly football recruiting podcast. We're up to episode 15. I am your host, Jason Sukumel. Always big thanks brought to you by our partners at the Yak for hosting these podcasts. Another active week, man. We are hitting the home stretch, if you will, before the early signing period. Coaches are on the road. It's Tuesday night as I record this. So when a lot of y'all listen to this on Wednesday, probably it'll be exactly 2 weeks from the beginning of early signing period. Man, things are moving at a fast and furious pace. I'm sitting here with a big cup of iced tea, hoping this caffeine kicks in as I record. Man, I got to start recording these damn podcasts earlier in the day or something. I always do them at night, and I'm usually dragging my behind by that point, and especially this week, man. It's been a pretty hectic week. News is coming in fast and furious, in-home visits, official visits getting set up, new targets. I'm going to touch on all of that here over the next 25, 30-ish minutes. The first thing I'd like to talk about, though, is Texas played in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma last week. Obviously, things didn't go the way Texas fans, most of you listeners, were hoping, with Texas falling in a hard-fought game to a very good Oklahoma team. It just didn't go the way Texas thought or wanted it to. But I've had a lot of people asking me, hey, even before the game and certainly after the game, does that game have an impact on Texas's recruiting class? And the simple answer is no, man. Come on. That absolutely not. And the way I would address that to those of you who have asked me that or are wondering if that game had any impact, just kind of think about yourself. How do you view this season for the Texas Longhorns? And what were your expectations coming in? How do you feel about this season? Do you look at this season like I do? And I think just about everybody else, including Tom Herman, including the players, I think most fans, most regional, local, national media, do you look at this season and say, hey, did Texas make progress? The obvious answer is yes. I mean, this is a Texas team that's had to scratch and claw just to get to bowl games. Now they're playing in the New Year's Day bowl game, the Sugar Bowl, against an incredibly good Georgia team. I mean, the regular season didn't end the way you wanted it to. Yes, Texas stumbled a little bit against Maryland and Oklahoma State, a couple games they probably should have won. But bottom line, this is a Texas team that made a lot of progress. And if you feel that way, which I'm sure everybody does, you should, I hope you do. I mean, recruits are no different. All they've always told me is, hey, I just want to see that Texas is making progress, taking steps in the right direction under Tom Herman, getting in a position where they can compete for championships. Well, they competed for a conference championship in year two. I think most people would tell you they'll be in that same position next year probably. They should be. They could even be in national title contention next year if the right chips fall into place, of course. But, you know, so there's progress being made. Recruits see it. They see the way Texas recruited certainly in last year's class, the way they're recruiting this year with a top five-ish, you know, top 10 for sure, maybe even a top five recruiting class. Recruits see that, and that's all they care about. They're not worried about Texas losing to Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. And frankly, even if Texas was to go out and lose to Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, it's not going to impact anything at all. Most of your commitments in this class are already going to be signed. Most of your targets are already going to be committed and signed. Prospects understand, hey, that's a really good Georgia team. Now, that being said, I mean, if Texas goes out and just plays terribly on national television, that could impact, you know, maybe set them back a little bit with the 2020 class. But I don't see that happening. But what has to happen, if you want Texas to truly be among the elite of the elite on a recruiting perspective, and when I look at those teams, it's two teams. Well, it was three teams until Urban Meyer announced his retirement on Tuesday morning, but it was Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. Those three programs really recruit the last couple of years anyways, just at a different level than everybody else. They just do. I mean, Texas has had great classes, and it's even more remarkable when you think of the product Texas had been putting on the field for the last 3 or 4 years prior to this one to even be in the same kind of realm as Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. But in order for Texas to just really recruit lights out, you know, get those 3, 4, 5-star players like those programs do, they need to beat a team like Georgia. They need to compete and be in the Final Four. They need to be in the national championship discussion. If Texas can make those kind of strides, starting with the Sugar Bowl win over Georgia, I think you'll have a chance to see Texas recruit at that elite national level. So the good news is, no, that Oklahoma game really didn't hurt Texas at all. They did have a decommitment. I'll touch on that in a little bit. It had nothing to do with that Oklahoma game. But that loss to Oklahoma didn't hurt Texas. A loss to Georgia doesn't really hurt Texas. But boy, a win over Georgia could really springboard Texas's recruiting efforts. I mean, this is a Texas program that is trending in the right direction, and recruits see it, and that's why Texas is recruiting well. Now, all that being said, it's not easy, okay? It's still tough sledding at times in the state of Texas, and everything Texas is doing is right. I mean, Texas is winning ball games. They're identifying good prospects. They're getting in on them early. They're making huge impressions when they get them on campus. They got a great support staff. But you know what? Oklahoma's doing a hell of a job. Texas A&M does a great job. LSU does a really good job. You got other schools, you know, national schools like Ohio State, like Alabama, that like to raid the state of Texas. So Texas is doing really well. Texas is trending up, but so are some other programs around the area that recruit the state of Texas hard. So that's a long-winded answer to the question that I keep seeing and people keep asking me about the championship game implications. There are just a lot more positives that can come out of that than there are negatives. And same with the Sugar Bowl. I mean, Texas has shown enough this year. They've laid enough of a foundation, built up enough confidence with recruits and their parents and their high school coaches around the area. One game, a loss to Oklahoma, a loss to Georgia, that's not going to ruin all that. So, you know, I mentioned it's been a busy week. Boy, has it ever. I don't know where to begin. I think we'll probably have some. I'm keeping an eye on my Twitter feed because probably I might even see some news break while I'm on this, while I'm recording this podcast. But, you know, I'll start off with the most recent thing. I just put this on Orange Bloods on Tuesday night, maybe an hour before I recorded this. I just happened to, every once in a while, I'll pop on Twitter and I'll just kind of a trick of the trade, if you will, but I'll look at coaches' Twitter follows. Especially, you know, if I know that they're looking for a running back or they're looking for offensive line help, or, you know, maybe you look at a guy like Brian Carrington's Twitter follows, I'll look to see who their most recent follows are. Well, I looked, and one of the most recent follows for offensive line coach Herb Hand was to a junior college offensive lineman named Tommy Kennedy out of Butler University. And as I told you, I'd get breaking news. I wasn't lying, man. Here we are, like literally a minute later, I got a text. He said, okay, and I'm going to just jump back and forth here. You guys are really getting this on the fly. But Peyton Powell, the Texas Tech quarterback / wide receiver / athlete commitment, who I think is visiting Baylor this weekend. He hasn't confirmed it, but Baylor people have told me he's expected to be in. Peyton Powell's gone silent. Well, now I just got a text saying that he will be talking with the new Texas Tech coaching staff soon. So that's something to keep an eye on. I don't have any other details beyond that. So we'll see if anything else comes in, but look for Peyton Powell to at least have some conversations with the Texas Tech coaching staff. Texas Tech was one of his favorites before he committed to Texas, so that's something to watch. But anyways, okay, all right, got that out of the way. Let's jump back. Texas, I mentioned they're talking to Tommy Kennedy, the offensive lineman out of Butler University. This is a young man. I didn't know anything about it, but Herb Hand was following him on Twitter, so I reached out to Tommy Kennedy. I said, and honestly, I'm still learning about this guy myself. I said, hey, are you in touch with Texas? I noticed Herb Hand's following you. Tommy said, yes, I have been in touch with Herb Hand. didn't really give me any details. He politely informed me he's not doing any interviews with media right now. And I try to respect those wishes. So I just said, okay, I'll try to catch up with you down the road. But the bit of background that I found, this is a guy who was is a two-year starter at Butler. He started the last 2 years at left tackle, started 11 games in 2018, 11 in 2017. I think I saw he was a second-team all-conference player, but I haven't had a chance to really look at his film much. But whatever this guy's put on tape, college coaches have taken notice as a graduate transfer because Oklahoma's offered, Florida State's offered, Auburn has been in to see him this week, Miami's offered. I mean, I think every time I check his Twitter feed, there's new offers coming in and, from big time national power players. So Texas hasn't offered yet, but there are conversations going in with him as a possible graduate transfer coming into Texas. So we'll keep an eye on that one. That may be something we'll be talking about in the next week or two. I could certainly see a situation where Herb Hand, A, goes out to visit him during this contact period, and I'd be surprised if he didn't, frankly, because every other coaching staff that I'm seeing that's talking to him has been by to visit. So I could see Herb Hand going to visit Tommy Kennedy. I could even see Texas extending an offer. Now, where that would put Texas in the mix with all these other schools, Arizona State, I mentioned USC's involved. Florida State's involved. Oklahoma's involved. Oklahoma State, Missouri offered him. So where would Texas fit in? I'm not sure yet, but just that's a little bit of late breaking news. I'm still digging around there that Texas is in talks with another graduate transfer offensive lineman. It worked out well this year. They got a Calvin Anderson to come in, the starting left tackle. Who knows? Maybe they could pull that off twice with Tommy Kennedy. So along with that bit of news, it's been an active week with the coaching staff on the road. Texas staff was on the road doing some in-home visits. They weren't able to do that last week, so other schools got a week-long head start on Texas because Texas was preparing for the Big 12 championship game. The coaches obviously couldn't be on the road. So what you got to like, and this has been talked about on our website quite a bit, but if you're not on there, I mean, Texas didn't waste any time. They played the game Saturday morning. Saturday evening, the coaching staff, Tom Herman, went out with Stan Drayton, the running backs coach, and saw Rivals 100 running back Noah Cain. Noah Cain, he's at IMG Academy in Florida. He flew back home. His mom lives in Denton because he wanted to go to the Big 12 championship game. He bought a ticket on his own, went and watched the Big 12 championship game. Later that night, after the game was over, obviously Tom Herman and Stan Drayton went and visited Noah Cain and his mom on an in-home visit. I haven't talked to Noah yet, but I did talk to his father, who lives in the New Orleans area, still very connected with Noah and his mother. But just told me, yeah, it sounds like in his conversations with Noah, said it was a good visit. He said, the best way to describe it would be business as usual. Just Texas is building that relationship. It's not like there are any red flags that needed to be addressed. It was just Texas going in, seeing if there had any questions that needed to be answered. And, just showing Noah Cain that he is a top priority for them. And that's why they wanted to visit him on Saturday night. I thought it was interesting that Tom Herman went in this week on Saturday because head coaches get one visit and one visit only, in-home visit. And Noah's not deciding till December 19th. So Herman's kind of used his bullet, his one bullet there. Now, you still have Penn State. You still have Georgia. They're still going in this week. Could be happening tonight. I'm not even sure. But those coaches are still doing in-homes. Other coaches are still trying to get in there. He does have one official visit left. So you got schools like LSU and even Oklahoma and Tennessee and a couple others who are still trying to get him in for his fifth and final official visit. But it was an interesting strategy by Tom Herman to go ahead and use his in-home visit this week instead of waiting till next week, maybe trying to be the last one, maybe do it right before he has to shut it down for the dead period and then before he announces on December 19th. I tell you, I like the strategy, and I'll tell you why. In my conversations with Noah Cain's dad and with Noah a little bit, but more so with his dad, they've told me he's going to announce his decision on ESPN on December 19th, but he's probably going to know where he's going before that. This could be a situation literally by the end of this week where Noah has a really good idea where he's going. So I like the idea of Tom Herman. It's a little bit of risk versus reward type deal, but I like the fact that Tom Herman went in this week. You know what? Who knows, man? Maybe Noah pretty much sits down with his family and all but makes up his mind next week. And then if you're Franklin from Penn State, or if you're Kirby Smart from Georgia, you know, then you're having to try to change the kid's mind and talk him out of a commitment. Well, you know, Tom Herman went in guns a-blazing on Saturday night as soon as he could after they played their championship game. So we'll see what kind of impact it has. That one's – everybody wants these predictions, man. I said that one's still tough to predict. I very cautiously favor Texas in that one still. Penn State still hanging around. Georgia made a really strong push with his official visit to Georgia last week. If he can get past the whole lure of the SEC and Georgia's amazing recruiting efforts and the fact that Georgia likes to run the ball and has a good history of big backs, I just think Texas makes too much sense, man. The guy, the kid's, you know, lived in Denton. His mom still lives there. His dad's in Louisiana, so close enough where he can get back and forth to Austin pretty easily. He wants to study business, so Texas has the top-ranked business school in the country. He really has taken a liking to Stan Drayton and Tom Herman. You know, I don't know. I mean, Noah hasn't said anything to tip his hand, but when I'm just kind of looking at all those tea leaves, I slightly favor Texas, but it's a tough one to call right now. But anyway, so that was the first stop for the coaching staff of Saturday night. Several others. I mean, pretty much if you can think of a big prospect on Texas's board, that prospect is getting an in-home visit this week. Texas was in-home with Brew McCoy on Monday. I was texting with Brew's father, Horace McCoy, on Monday. He did say that Drew Maringer came in or was coming in on Monday. I haven't heard from his dad post-visit, so I did reach out to Brew McCoy's father to say, hey, can you shoot me a comment on how the visit went and what Texas's message was. Hadn't heard back. Hopefully I'll hear back from him soon. But, you know, Drew Maringer's done such a good job on that one that I have to figure it was a very successful in-home visit. When I talked to Horace McCoy on the phone, oh, about a month or so ago, man, he really was singing the praises of Drew Maringer, said he was one of their, if not the favorite recruiters of anybody who's recruiting their son. So I think that was probably, you know, if I'm just kind of a guessing game here, I got to figure that was a really productive meeting for Texas, and Drew Maringer probably did a good job. Now, was it enough? I don't know. You got all this talk that USC's hiring Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think it's been officially confirmed, at least it hasn't as of recording time, but it sounds like it's coming any time now. Kingsbury to USC could be a deal breaker or a game changer, I guess you could say. I've kind of favored Brew McCoy going to USC regardless. I've talked to people who cover USC. They think he's locked in. They think he's, you know, pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. Now, I think that's overconfidence on their part, but you add Cliff Kingsbury to the mix, that's going to make USC a lot more attractive for a young man who is probably going to play receiver at the next level. We'll see. Texas has done a good job. I mean, I'm not giving up hope on Texas, and you shouldn't either, but I just think that thing is trending USC's way. I think it has been trending USC's way, and the Kingsbury stuff probably only strengthens USC's position. Tonight, Texas is out in Arizona visiting Jake Smith, arguably the top prospect on the Texas recruiting board. And I texted with Braden Leibrock, the Arizona tight end commitment who's committed to Texas on, I think it was Sunday. And he said, yeah, Texas is coming out on Thursday. Well, it just slipped my mind. I said, okay, that means they're probably going to visit Jake Smith on Thursday as well. Meant to check in with Jake or his dad. I kind of forgot, honestly, but I did text his dad on Tuesday night. And I said, hey, man, I've been meaning to ask you, is Texas coming out on Thursday for an in-home visit? And he said, nope, they're here right now in his living room. So I said, oh my gosh, my apologies, but enjoy the visit. But Texas is out there tonight. You know, people have asked me about Jake Smith and will he look around? Guys, that's not happening, man. There was a time very early on, really after that Maryland game, frankly, in week one, where, you know, Jake, I went out to Arizona and Jake kind of told me, he's like, man, I'm a little concerned with what's going on with Texas and the way their offense is playing. Then the Texas offense starts playing better. They're winning games. He comes in and watches Texas beat USC, loves that atmosphere, that environment. Everything he's ever told me, everything his dad has ever told me, is that he doesn't have any interest in anyone else. Jake Smith is locked in. I'm sure USC is going to try to make a push. They're not stupid, okay? Other schools are not going away. Alabama's probably going to try to throw their name out there a little bit more, and they've talked to him before, but I don't think you need to be worried about Jake Smith based on what his dad has told me as recently as last week. I think Texas is got him locked in. Texas is out there tonight. Jake's going to sign in the early signing period. He won't enroll early. Everybody asked me that. I think he told me his school has kind of a weird schedule, so he can't enroll early, but he will sign early. So don't worry about that. A couple other big visits worth mentioning will be, I'm going to stick to the junior college ranks. Tom Herman went out on Sunday. He was actually in Waterloo, Iowa. Poor guy. As a guy who was born and spent 12 years of my life in Iowa, going to Waterloo on a Sunday doesn't sound like much fun to me. But Tom Herman flew up to Waterloo, Iowa. He was in Iowa. He was watching. There's a junior college bowl games going on Sunday. One of which featured junior college offensive lineman Myron Cunningham, a young man that Texas has been recruiting. Cunningham's already visited Oklahoma. He's going to Arkansas this coming weekend. I've reached out to Cunningham. I've reached out to other sources to see how that visit went and if Cunningham is going to try to squeeze in a Texas visit. And it's been weirdly quiet, man. I wish I had more information for you guys on that one. But it has been, when I say weirdly quiet, I mean like radio silence. I'll keep working on that. But Herman did go up there, so there is obviously a strong interest there. The fact that I haven't heard anything about Cunningham coming to Texas on a visit yet. He hasn't tweeted it. He hasn't responded to my texts. He hasn't responded to my DMs. I've asked a couple other sources. They haven't said anything. Makes me think it's probably not happening, or they're going to try to do it and keep everything quiet. But I lean towards it probably not happening. And the reasoning for that is the next big visit. Herb Hand, offensive line coach, visited JUCO offensive lineman Jay Williams on Monday. Jay Williams is a brand new name. He's at a junior college in California. And frankly, I don't have the name of the JUCO in front of me. It's a college I'd never heard of. It's spread outside of San Diego. But this is a young man that Herb Hand went out and saw him on Monday and told him, hey, I need to go back and talk to Tom Herman. Then we'll kind of see where things go from there. Well, it came out on Tuesday. Jay Williams tweeted he is going to take an official visit to Texas this weekend. So things are moving very quickly there. I like Texas's chances here. I talked to Jay at length on Monday. He is going to take a Florida State visit December 14th, but he's going to sign in December. So he's visited Indiana. He's got Texas coming up. He's got Florida State. You know, all due respect to Indiana, I don't see Indiana winning that battle. I think Texas or Florida State's going to win. Now, one thing Texas is going to have to combat with Florida State is Florida State's offensive line is terrible. So Williams would have a chance to probably walk in there and be a starter, just a no-brainer starter. Whereas at Texas, you have to battle a little bit harder. Now, you know, the left tackle position would be open for him. They could swing Cosby over to left tackle and maybe play Williams at right tackle. But there is a little bit more depth on the Texas roster than what Jay Williams would have to battle with at Florida State. But Texas could say, hey, look, you know, Calvin Anderson came in, won the job from day one. Maybe tell him, hey, you know, you could do the same. Williams is an interesting prospect, man. He really just kind of has blown up here the last few weeks. This is a young man that went to San Diego State, started off there, then transferred back to the JUCO, was kind of a bounce-back guy, wanted to just go back there and get close to home and go to junior college close to home and try to gain some experience and some exposure as a defensive lineman. He was a defensive end. This year in spring ball, they said, hey, let's try you at tight end, man. He had a growth spurt. Let's throw him at tight end, his coach said. And then they came to him, I think it was right after spring ball, said, hey, man, we think you could be a really good offensive tackle. And Williams was like, okay, I'll give it a try. Well, he started off at guard the week before their season opener. They said, okay, we're going to play you at tackle. He had never played offensive tackle till the first game of the 2018 season. So this is a young man, needless to say, who's still getting his feet wet. But his film looks pretty good, man. He's a good athlete. He's got a nasty streak, a mean streak. And when you've got schools like Texas and Florida State coming at you, you're doing something right. So Jay Williams will visit this weekend, official visit. Things have picked up quickly there. That was a big visit, obviously, for Herb Hand. Texas is going to see Isaiah Hookfin, uncommitted prospect, I believe on Wednesday. I think they're visiting with Caleb Johnson, the junior college linebacker. I believe Texas is visiting with him tonight. Todd Orlando is. Myron Warren, the Texas defensive end commitment, will get a visit on Wednesday. Texas needs to, he's solidly committed, but you know, you could still stand, Texas could still stand to tighten that one up a little bit. Javon Shepherd, the offensive line commitment, who still wants to take other visits. Herb Hand and Corby Meekins, saw him on Tuesday night. So big visits here this week, and they'll continue next week. There'll be another round of visits next week. One of the big stories this week was the decommitment of wide receiver Damarian Houston. That came out on Monday night. He tweeted that he was going to open up his recruitments. Well, a little bit of backstory there. I've mentioned Damarian as a guy that one to watch because he was probably going to take other visits. Frankly, when he committed back in July or something, I was told that he was going to take visits even back then. His family wanted him to take other visits. Well, recently, you know, Houston's kind of started thinking about some of those visits. Texas has kind of told him behind the scenes, hey, man, you know, if you want to take some visits, that's fine, but we're going to bring you in January on your Texas official visit. We're not going to, you know, let's not have you try to sign in December. We don't want to, you know, kind of force your hand if you want to take these other visits. That basically both sides were okay with it, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. You know, Oklahoma's kind of been sniffing around. Everybody thought maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe I even had someone say, hey, was it because Texas lost to Oklahoma? No, that wasn't it at all. The kid was still committed to Texas. He was still happy with his Texas commitment, but he was going to take visits at the urging of others. And frankly, Texas was like, that's fine. Go ahead and take those visits. They didn't force him to decommit, obviously. You can't do that. But Damarian Houston kind of saw the writing on the wall. Hey, if Texas is saying, almost encouraging him to take other visits, you know, it's probably best for him to open things up. So, you know, it'll work out for Damarian. He'll find a good landing spot. He's visiting Minnesota, I think, this weekend. And truth be told, that visit was set up about a week and a half ago. I was told about that one, but I was asked to keep it under wraps, so I did. But this has been in the works for a while, and I think it's a mutual parting of a ways that could benefit Texas and Damarian Houston. So best of luck to that young man wherever he visits or wherever he winds up. This coming weekend, we're going to have, right now, Texas has three official visitors that I know of. You have Jay Williams, the offensive lineman I mentioned, the JUCO offensive lineman. He'll be in. Marcus Tillman is the Texas linebacker commitment. He'll be in this weekend. He's graduating early and enrolling early, so he's coming in this weekend. The other one I need to follow up with, but DJ Williams, the running back out of Florida, is supposed to, he had told me he's coming in this weekend, but I need to follow up with him and kind of double confirm on that. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas maybe pushes that back if they can, but DJ does want to decide in December, so you got to kind of work with him a little bit there. But those are the official visitors right now. I expect you'll see maybe one or two others. Don't be surprised if another couple committed guys come in this weekend. Next weekend will be a big recruiting weekend. We'll have a lot of committed guys in, but you might see another couple guys come in this weekend. I just need to confirm some dates with players. So again, man, a pretty active week with coaches on the road, with official visits being set up, with Jay Williams, this new JUCO offensive lineman, jumping on the radar, now coming in for a visit. You got this Peyton Powell stuff. My phone kind of went off here 30 minutes or so ago, so keep an eye on Texas Tech. Keep an eye on Baylor with Peyton Powell. You know, and with that, I'm going to close. I got just a few questions here that I want to answer. Really, one person sent in a few of them, and then I'm going to answer the standard ones I seem to get every week. And The big question a lot of people want to know, like, which players are signing in February? Like, which guys are a better way to ask that question is, what players are not signing in the early period in December? Because if a young man's not signing in December, well, you got to ask yourself, why not? If you know you're solidly committed to Texas, why wouldn't you sign in December? Why would you want to wait until February? Well, the guys who are waiting until February, one of them was going to be Damarian Houston, the guy who decommitted, so you can take him off the list. Myron Warren, the defensive lineman out of Louisiana. Texas is doing their in-home with him on Wednesday. He told me on Monday he's going to wait till February. It'll be really interesting to see if Texas can talk him into going ahead and signing early. That would be huge if Texas could, because then if you get him signed, then if someone like LSU wants to try to make a late run, he's off the board. So Texas will try to work on him on Wednesday, but Myron Warren told me he's not signed until February. Peyton Powell told me even when he first committed, he said, hey, he's probably going to wait until February. Now you're starting to see these other coaches kind of kicking the tires there. Powell told me at the time, he said, hey, it was not really because he had a strong interest anywhere else. It was more he just wanted to enjoy the process a little bit. But keep an eye on Peyton Powell. Obviously, now you got Texas Tech. You got Baylor coming around there. We'll see if Texas can tighten that one up and maybe get him to sign early. Javon Shepherd, the offensive lineman, another one who wants to take visits. Man, Javon's all over the place. He's so hard to pin down. He could literally say the night before signing day, the December signing day, he's going to wait till February. Then he could wake up on December 19th and sign with Texas. And frankly, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. So I think he's going to wait till February, but who the heck knows with Javon Shepherd. But he has said he wants to take visits. So we'll see. Texas has done a good job keeping him reeled in. And I think he sticks with Texas regardless, but he has said he'll probably wait until February. We'll see. The other one I talked to this week, and I thought this one was kind of interesting, is linebacker David Benda, the middle linebacker that has been committed to Texas forever. He told me he's probably or maybe going to wait till February. I think he said maybe, not probably. And I said, well, what's the reasoning there? And he didn't really have one. I said, well, it's not anything about you looking around, is it? He said, no, not at all. He said, I've pretty much shut the door. I don't even talk to any other coaches. They've all backed off, which is the way I want it. But for whatever reason, he said he might not sign till February. That one doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I would not be shocked at all to see him change his plans, David Benda, and go ahead and sign in the December window in about 2 weeks. Which guys are enrolling early? That's always a big topic of conversation. I'll just kind of rattle off the ones that I know of. And I think these are the only ones, by the way, that are enrolling early. Defensive end Jacoby Jones, a JUCO guy that just committed. Junior college guys usually are midterm guys, so he'll enroll early. And by the way, before I forget, if Texas was to get Jay Williams, the JUCO offensive lineman that's visiting early, or this weekend, he would enroll early. And Noah Cain would also be an early enrollee. Marcus Tillman, the linebacker who's committed, is visiting this weekend. He'll enroll early. Peter Mpaji, the defensive end that's been committed for a long time, he'll enroll early. Tight end Jared Wiley, linebacker Gabe Floyd, DeGabriel Floyd, those guys will enroll early. A couple other big ones, Jordan Whittington, the wide receiver slash athlete out of Cuero, and quarterback Rashawn Johnson, those two guys will enroll early. So that's a pretty good start, man. You're getting a lot of guys who are going to get a head start, go through spring football. You could see a lot of those guys contributing as early as next year. A couple questions here. I thought these were interesting. One guy emailed me these questions last week. He emailed them to me, and I didn't get a chance to answer them. And they're kind of different. I get the same questions every week. Hey, how many offensive linemen? And hey, you know, how do things look with Brew McCoy? And this one said, what is my worst experience covering a recruit? And I thought that was a good question. I actually had to think about this one a little bit. Man, I'm sure I've got some bad ones, but maybe I'm just getting so damn old I can't really think of them, or maybe I move on from them pretty quickly. The one that everybody, if you've followed my work for a long time, everybody says, well, it has to be Darryl Scott, the five-star running back out of Ventura, California. I don't remember what year he was, what class he was. It's been so long, but everyone said it has to be him. And the backstory on that is he was committed to Texas. I actually went out to see him play. I flew out to California, had a great visit, got to know some people out of the school, really enjoyed myself. And then come signing day, Colorado was making a strong push on him. So I flew back. He was going to announce his decision on ESPN National Signing Day, first Wednesday of February. I called the representative at ESPN who was handling his announcement. I said, hey, I just want to check, you know, if I fly out there, will it be fine? I can cover the announcement. They said, oh yeah, come on out. No problem. So I fly out there a day or two before signing day, and the kind of shit hits the fan out there. One of his coaches told me, hey man, it's going to be Colorado. And I didn't say it to that degree, but I kind of let readers on Orange Bloods know, hey man, it's not looking good. This thing's trending Colorado's way pretty strongly. I don't know. His mom just wasn't too keen on Texas and whatever, for whatever reason. So National Signing Day morning, I drive out to, I think it was ESPN Zone at Disney World. I drive my ass out there, fight traffic. And when I get there, I'm told I can't come into the ESPN Zone. Daryl Scott's mom had forbidden me to cover the press conference, which was, I was like, I don't know what the hell I ever did. I've never said a cross word about the guy or anything else. But everybody speculates that would be one of my, but you know, I'm like, hey, I got two trips to beautiful parts of California. Whatever. It wasn't great, but you know, it was good for our subscribers. It's still a talking point. It was good for business. That one wasn't so bad. The one that personally irked me was Jamarcus McFarland committing to Oklahoma, and a story coming out about Texas, this infamous party that never happened, and girls romancing each other, and this, that, and the other. And that came out on Christmas morning. And I got a call from a source at Texas Christmas morning. Still one of my favorite guys in the world, so I don't begrudge him at all for calling me. But, you know, I'm sitting there. I got young kids. I still have young kids, but at this point I had really young kids who were trying to celebrate Christmas. And I get a call. And this is his job, man. And he's like, hey, this is going on. This is not, a lot of the stuff that's being reported is not true. And I kind of got the other side of the story. And I did. I wrote something up, and sure enough, thank goodness it came out later that a lot of the crap that was printed in that other story, I think it was a New York Times story, if I'm not mistaken, McFarland ended up admitting, okay, yeah, it was not true about this party and all this other crap that he said. But yeah, that was just a kind of a pain in the ass to have to, on Christmas morning, to get that call and have to race to work and start writing and kind of leave my kids for a little bit. You know, some things you'd hope would be off limits, but not in the world of recruiting, apparently. So that one was a bit of a pain in the ass, and I'm sure there are others that I'm not thinking of. But and then this person asked about early signing period and said, what's this time of the year like for me, and do I enjoy early signing period, or do I not enjoy it? Well, the answer is, if I enjoy it, is absolutely. I think it's good for the prospects. I think it's good for the colleges. I think it's good for me personally and reporters. It makes the February signing day just so incredibly hectic. You know what? I can't think of a single negative really to early signing period. If a guy knows where he wants to go, let him do it early, be done with it, not have to go through all the drama until February. So I do like it. And what's it like for me? You know, it's a fun time. I mean, this week has been super busy. The last couple weeks, I mean, the next 2 weeks will be super busy. So it's a fun time. I like it, man. My mind is constantly on the go, like to the point, seriously, I never have trouble sleeping. My wife will tell you I sleep like a log normally, but this is the time of year when I lay at night and I'm thinking, oh gosh, did I forget to text this person or ask this question or check on this visitor, talk to this source. You know, it's an anxious time. It's a fun time, but an anxious time. You don't want to miss anything. Literally tonight, I was out picking up fast food drive-through for me and my kids. While my wife, if you don't know my background, I got four kids and they're all in different activities. So I'm always trying to run ragged. My wife had our daughter at gymnastics and I'm in charge of feeding the other ones. So like any good dad, I go pick up fast food at a drive-through. And I'm at the drive-through and my phone starts going off about Jay Williams visiting. I'm like, damn it, I'm not at my computer and I'm going to get burned on that story. Not that it was a biggest story in the world, but sure enough, I got home and it was already on her message board and everything else. But you know, you just cannot escape the news. You don't know when it's going to happen. I literally, this is not a lie, I take my phone to bed with me every single night. I do not put it on silent. I have it sitting on either the floor or the nightstand right beside my bed. Because if news breaks, man, I can't not be aware and be alert. I mean, thank God. I mean, knock on wood, I don't think that's ever happened. I've been really fortunate where I've been available every time news has broken. Now, there's going to come a time where I'm going to be asleep or whatever, and some damn kid's going to commit or something in the middle of the night, and I won't see it till the next morning. But I've been really lucky, and I've been on the other side. I've actually broken one of those, or one or two of those types of commitments where nobody else got it until the next morning. So that's a great feeling, but that doesn't happen very often anymore. But I literally take my phone to bed with me, and from the time I get up, my routine, I brush my teeth, I go to the bathroom, I am on my phone checking the message boards, checking Twitter, I get on my computer, and that's usually the last thing I do to go to bed. So, and that's not me, listen, that's coming across as me bitching and moaning. It's not. I'm just answering the question. Do I like this time of year? I do. I mean, you know, you get breaks during the day here and there. My job's flexible enough, if I want to go to my daughter's Thanksgiving play at her school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can escape for 30 minutes. So the benefits far outweigh the negatives. Absolutely. But I mean, it is a job where you are on call 24/7 around the clock. That's what it is this time of year. But it's, like I said, it's a fun time, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a bit of maybe what I would call an anxious time as well. Cause you don't want to miss any late breaking news. As I say that, I peek over on Twitter to make sure I'm not missing anything. But that's it, guys. This one went a little bit longer than I anticipated, and I hope you guys enjoyed it and kind of stuck with me. I hope you guys, I kind of like talking about the backstory, some of the backstory of my job. You know, I don't get to talk and discuss that stuff too much, so I hope you guys enjoy hearing some of that stuff. I'll try to think of some other creative and interesting backstories we can talk about in the future. But, you know, my name is Jason Sukumil. This is Something's Brewing. This is episode number 15. As always, I thank our partners at the Yak for hosting these podcasts. And as always, I thank you listeners. Incredibly grateful for y'all sticking with us and taking the time to listen and hopefully enjoy these podcasts. We'll be back next week. We'll have weekend visits to recap. We'll have a big weekend visit to preview. So a lot of action. These next couple weeks are going to be jam-packed, so stay tuned. Talk to you guys next week. You guys have a safe rest of your week.